Insurance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the men in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till it's over there. Fellas, this is Ken Carpenter. You know, Command Performance is made up of requests from you GI guys and gals overseas. And one thing we're sure of, a lot of you have that address, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA, written down in your little black books, because we've got a basket full of mail to answer this week. Some of you must have ganged up on us, though. There's a flock of commands that read like this one from Sergeant Hal Cantor. How about Command Performance dropping into some famous address like 79 Wistful Vista or Duffy's Tavern? Kind of old home week on good old CP. Well, okay, fellas, yours to command. And the command car is waiting, complete with slide whistle. And, fellas, while we're on our way, let me remind you of something. In these history-making times, great men are ever on the move. Military strategists, government officials, and scientists are searching their respective fields for greater and more effective steps toward victory and peace. And as we approach our own G2 of 79 Wistful Vista, we find this great man also searching. Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Molly, where's my cigars?
You mean the three for a dimers or the cheap ones?
I mean the expensive ones that come wrapped in those aluminum test tubes. The one Mayor Latrivia gave me when he was running for election back in 1932.
Oh, those. Well, they're right where you put them, in the humidor, in the icebox.
Oh. Well, I'm going to go get them. I better put some root beer on ice, too. Expecting company.
Who?
You know Harlow Wilcox?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know that cousin of his he's always talking about?
Oh, you mean the one in the army who was at New Guinea?
That's the one. I got Wilcox to promise me the boy'd come over here when he got home, and now he's home.
Oh, that's wonderful. But why are you so anxious to see him, dearie?
Oh, you wouldn't understand, Molly. It's a case of one veteran to another.
Oh, yeah.
I remember how I felt when I came back from the last war. The big war. Done me good to talk to someone who understood the military problems.
McGee, you know about as much about today's military problems as Robert E. Lee knew about dive bombing.
Oh. Is that so? Well, baby, do you know who played one of the big roles in the vital drive for Chateau Thierry? Do you?
Yeah.
Who?
General John J. Pershing.
He couldn't do it alone. Who helped him?
Oh, a couple of million men. I don't remember all their names, though.
Well, surely you remember one certain private whose initials were Fibber McGee. Well,
that's right. You were one of them, weren't you, dear?
You know doggone well. I come pretty near being a hero, too. Why, me and my friend, technician 7th grade, Fred Nittany from Starved Rock, Illinois. Fred and me were out on a reconnaissance patrol.
A reconnaissance patrol?
A reconnaissance patrol. That's like when a fella has a blind date and he looks at pictures of the objective before he takes her out.
Well, what's a blind date got to do with it?
Nothing. I'm talking about reconnaissance. Well, there me and Fred were. And suddenly, through the murky haze of early morn, we spotted an enemy observation balloon.
Oh?
Now, quick's a flash, Fred and I hit the ground, and we inched our way towards the big Hitler.
Hitler?
Yeah, that's what we call any big gas bag. Well, sir, by now we were within Springfield range, so at a given signal, we both blazed away. We caught the crew of the blimp with their plans down. They all had a bail out. The blimp folded up like a 79-cent beach chair, and one by one, the crew parachuted down.
Oh?
Old Fred Nittany rounded them up while I kept them covered. We would have won the Congressional Medal of Honor, except for one little technicality.
And what was that?
The men we captured were all on our side.
Heavenly days, McGee. What were they doing in a German blimp?
Well, we didn't realize it at first, but that was ours, too. Later on, when... Oh, that's him now. Come in.
Hello, you're Mr. McGee, aren't you?
Sure am, son. Fibber McGee, and it's a pleasure to shake the hand of a fellow fighting man. You don't know how glad I am to see you back from the combat area of the Pacific. Yes, sir. Come right in. Now, this is my wife, Molly.
How do you do?
How do you do, I'm sure.
See, you got some stripes on your arm. How long did it take you to make corporal?
Oh, I'm a master sergeant, Mr. McGee.
Oh, just a kid, huh?
Won't Don't you have a chair, son?
Thanks.
How about a cigar?
Thank you, sir. I have one.
You got two? Thanks. What particular battles were you in?
Well, that's something I can't tell you now.
Oh, you don't have to be modest with me, son. I know how you feel. I was in the last war. The big war. Yes, sir, and it does a fellow good to get these things off his chest. How many Japs did you kill?
Well, quite a few.
A few? Well, I guess that's not so bad, although I myself in the last war personally accounted for...
McGee.
None. But getting back to you, Sarge, are they building up them places you took? In the newsreel I seen, you couldn't even see the scenery on account of all the palm trees and stuff. I'm very interested in the building on account of... I used to be with the engineers.
Army or railroad?
Army. Why, my outfit built one of the first platoon bridges.
No, you mean pontoon, dearie.
Platoon.
Pontoon. Platoon is a bunch of men.
That's what I said. I and a bunch of men built it. Son, about how many planes would you say we lost over there?
Well, we had a lot of battles, so I...
Must have been pretty serious.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. McGee. Don't go starting any rumors.
Where are you going after your furlough, Sergeant?
Yeah, where are they sending you?
Well, I really don't know, folks. I haven't got my orders yet, and even when I do, I won't be...
According to what I hear, you can look for a big sneak attack on Tokyo direct. Everything's going to be coordinated perfect, just like an Errol Flynn picture. What do you think of that?
Well, it's hard to tell, Mr. McGee. I'd like to sit here and discuss the war with you more, but I have to be running along.
So soon?
You're entirely welcome to come back anytime you want, Sergeant.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mrs. McGee. Before I leave, Mr. McGee, I've got something I'd like to tell you.
Yeah? Yeah?
Well, in this war, the Army's got a new watchword.
Oh, no. What is it?
Silence means security. Goodbye, Mrs. McGee.
My, my, what a nice young man.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, is he a clam.
Clam?
Yeah, he won't say where he's been, where he's going, what he's done, or he just won't say anything.
Well, dearie, I think he's modest, or else he has a good reason for not talking.
Modest, my clavicle. Why, when I come back from France, I had so much to say about the war, I sat down and wrote 5,000 pages telling all about it from every angle. Then I wrote the whole thing in longhand, with a quill pen.
Well, what happened to it?
Well, I never did get to finish it. My quill started molting.
Oh, I wonder who that can be.
We'll soon find out. Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hello, Molly. Hello, Snoopy.
Hi, Junior. What's the idea of calling me Snoopy?
I just met my cousin down the street, and he said he was in here talking to you. Or rather, answering you.
He wasn't talking to McGee, Mr. Wilcox. McGee was talking to him.
That cousin of yours is really not very observant, Junior. He don't seem to know where he was, where he's gone, what he's done, or who he's seen.
Oh, don't be silly, pal. Of course he knows. No smart soldier talks about where he's been, what he's seen, or anything else the enemy would like to know.
They want everybody to think they're dumbbells?
Better keep quiet and be thought a fool than start talking and prove it, unquote.
Look, pal, everybody is interested in what the soldier's been doing, but if it's against the rules, a good soldier buttons his lip.
They can talk to a friend off the record, can't they?
Look, in wartime, there's no such thing as off the record.
Oh, sure.
You remember that hunting trip we went on, you and I?
Oh, I remember that very well, Mr. Wilcox. You came back with a bearskin and 12 fish, and McGee came home with jiggers and ivy poisoning.
Yeah, but that's okay. But what's that got to do with the subject?
Well, I was just thinking back. I kept warning you not to leave an open bear trap around the cabin, but you paid no attention. And then you got caught in it yourself. Remember?
Yeah, but what's that got to do?
Well, that should have taught you, pal. There are times when it's best to keep your trap shut. So long, pal.
Well, maybe I was wrong, Molly.
I'm afraid you were, McGee. When you're talking to a soldier, you've got to remember one thing.
What's that?
Just because the enemy is all ears doesn't mean he's a jackass.
Thanks, Spiro McGee and Molly and Harlow Wilcox. I hope we can drop in to 79 Wistful Vista again soon. Oh, chum, you kind of jumped the gun there. That sound man really likes to keep moving. Well, here we are right in the middle of Columbia Picture Studios, and it's the dressing room of one of your favorite singers, beautiful blonde Martha Mears.
Thanks, Ken. I've got some command performance letters to take care of. So, for Joseph Rydell, radio man, second class of the Coast Guard, FPO, San Francisco, or Private Armand Campier, APO 726, Corporal W.P. Citrick at APO 939, and for PFC Bill Wademan of the Marines, here's Love Me Tonight. Let me love you tonight. Let me tell you how much I adore all your charms. Though you leave me tomorrow, for this night we'll borrow a love song. Let me love you tonight. Let me thrill to the touch of your sheltering arms. Till the scent of the roses caresses and closes your eyes. Let me kiss you tonight while the stars in the sky give a heavenly light. So when love is an ember, my heart will remember your sigh. Live a lifetime of love in a moment, holding me tight. And forget me, darling. Only let me love you tonight. Let me kiss you. Love is an ember, my heart will remember your sigh. Live a lifetime in a moment, holding me tight. Then forget me.
Thanks. See you later. Well, fellas, Eddie Marmon and the gang at APO 24 and Sonny Boy Sideman, Goonhead, Chesty, Sleepy, and Tommy, let me sleep in the rain because I'm from California, Jenkins, all at APO 565 have asked Command Performance to drop in at another famous address. So all aboard for Brooklyn and Duffy's Tavern.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave me? Deed, Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Oh, Duffy, you ought to see the joint here tonight. I just had it redecorated and painted. Yeah, painted. What about the smell? I think it hides it. Yeah. Yeah, the place is really beautiful, Duffy. The painter was in here all day painting murals. Huh? Painting Muriel's what? Duffy, Muriel's is, you know, it's them pictures on a wall. What kind did we get? Well, you see, this artist is a very cultured guy, so he suggested a classical motif with allegorical significance. Yeah. Dames with nothing on. Yeah, well, look, I'll talk to you later, Duffy, and I'll let you know how things go. Well, I think I'll mingle with the guests and see if I can...
Hello, Art.
Oh, hello. Finnegan? Finnegan, be careful around here tonight. The paint on the chairs is still wet.
Don't worry about me, Art. I always touch the paint first.
You touch the paint first,
Yeah. Look at the back of me pants.
Let me see. Oh, it ain't so bad. You sat down in some of that white lead. Try rubbing it. It'll come right out.
So I do. I tried that. I got rid of the white, but I don't think I'll ever get the lead out. Do you think you can find me a nice, noisy table?
Well, yeah, but what for?
I brought a book along with me and I want to study.
Well, why don't you go over to the library?
It's too quiet, Arch. So quiet over there I can hear myself thinking. That confuses me.
That I can understand.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of books are you reading?
Oh, this is a novel, Arch.
Oh.
It's called The Encyclopedia.
A novel, huh?
Yeah.
That's a love story, ain't it?
I think it must be. Population of Kansas City keeps going up.
Where did you get hold of this encyclopedia anyway?
Well, I won it in a quiz contest. I sent in a question, and they sent me a book.
No fooling. What question did you send in?
I just said, would you please send me an encyclopedia?
And they sent it to you?
Yeah, for nothing. All I had to do was pay the mailman the postage. $96.80.
Lucky thing they didn't charge you. However, right now I'm expecting some dames to apply for the job of hostess here. I have to interview them.
Look what it said you on page 5. The human body contains 403 bones. I wonder how they figured that out.
They probably looked at Frank Sinatra and counted them right out in the open. But you go ahead and study the book, Finnegan. I see a dame approaching here. Pray chance she is applying for the hostess job.
Okay, Arch. An ostrich hides his head in the sand.
Pardon me. Are you Archie, the manager?
Well, yes. I have the honor to be those people.
Well, my name is Lynn Barry.
Oh. Well, Miss Barry, no doubt you are here in regards to that job as hostess, no doubt?
No doubt. I thought I might like this type of work. Would you care to see my availability slip?
Miss Barry, what you're wearing underneath is your own business. But leave us not dilly with the dally with the hole in the stocking. About your qualifications, Miss Barry.
Well, at college, I took a course in social philosophy, and I had 3 years of advanced psychology. I think that equips me to handle Duffy's customers, don't you?
Yeah, if you also know a little jiu-jitsu.
You mean the crowd here is liable to get a little rough?
Yes, well, occasionally they revert to tripe, you know. So if I hire you, I want you to promise me one thing.
What's that?
Well, if any of the guys here makes a pass at you and annoys you, I want you to tell me, you know. If it don't annoy you, I want you to tell me anyway, so I'll know where I stand.
Well, it's nice to know that you take an interest in me.
Well, just because I'm the boss and you're a worker, our relationship don't have to be too plutotonic.
Why, Archie.
I mean it. You see, I'm thinking about committing matrimony. Maybe you and me could settle down, and after a year or two, who knows what might happen.
Hey, Mama Alligator lays 4,000 eggs.
Finnegan, get away from that encyclopedia. We ain't interested.
Okay, Archie.
Hey, where's the crummy manager of this broken-down joint?
As I was saying, Miss Barry...
Listen, either I talk to the manager or somebody's going to get a poke in the puss.
Excuse me, Miss Barry. No doubt somebody just finished eating our blue plate luncheon.
Go right ahead, Archie. I'll see you later.
Now, look here, lady. What's the idea of creating a disturbance? Who do you think you are?
Well, I'm Cass Daly.
Oh.
Oh.
Ain't my fault. What do you want around here anyway?
Well, you advertise that for a high-class hostess, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Can't you read?
Of course I can read. And I got culture, too. Why, if anyone's looking, I wouldn't dream of diving for a cigarette butt. I said it, and I'm glad. Why, listen, I happen to be a product of a finishing school.
The product of a finishing school, huh?
Yeah.
Well, here and there I can detect a little absenteeism. But you see, this job requires manners and a knowledge about etiquette.
Oh, well, I got plenty of etiquette. Whenever I eat, I always have my little finger extended.
That denotes elegance?
No, it signifies a left turn into the spaghetti.
What do you do? Throw your left leg out when you go after noodles? Well, to tell you the truth, I was considering, a younger dame for the job.
Well, I'm pretty young. Just how old do you think I am, anyway? Come on, take a guess. Well, what are you waiting for?
I'm trying to decide between the truth and a broken nose.
But... Well, you know, looks are often deceiving. Go on, try to guess my age. You know, I could be sweet 16. I could be 19. I could be a little older.
Certain types of lizards live for 3 centuries. I'm set it and I'm glad.
Finnegan, will you get out of here?
Well, now, what do you say? Do I get the job or not?
Well, I can't decide between you and Miss Barry. Can you do anything besides host?
Are you kidding? I'm a singer, too.
Well, let me hear you sing a song. That might help me decide.
All right, here I go. But stand back. I may blast you into the street, you know. I realize that a beauty prize is something I never will take. I'm quite aware neither pills nor prayer can rectify nature's mistake. I guess I'm an also-ran, me with my gorgeous pants. Every time I try to get a man, he always gets away. Well, you can't blame a gal for trying. There was one who seemed to love me till I tried to name the day. Well, you can't blame a gal for trying. One guy almost married me the very night we met. Then he saw me in the daylight, and he ain't stopped running yet. I may never get a sucker for this broken down brunette, but you can't blame a gal for trying. Just the other day, in a small cafe, but not on a star. That guy was drinking like a fish. He looked pretty high, I saw in his eye a gleam he could not conceal. He said, have a drink. Then I gave him a wink and answered, it's a deal. Down went the bourbon, down went the solo, boy, I was feeling gay. Then he put his arms around me, and I said, take your hands away. Then his wife walked through the door, coming my way. That dame looked like 6'4", coming my way. Oh, she banged our heads together. She was as tough as leather.
called the doctor that morning to see that everything was still all right. And when he opened up my mouth that morning, he said, "My dear, there's not a tooth in sight. I'll never smile. My smiling days are through. I'm always making up my mind to stay away from men. But when I see someone wearing pants, I get the same old yen. I may wind up in another mess, but here I go again. Woo!
That was wonderful, Miss Daly. Had the same delicate quality as a burp in a sonobot.
Really? Well, they
Sucker.
Told me, Whispering Daly, yeah. You know, yes. Well, tell me now, do I get the job or not?
Yes, which one of us gets the hostess job, Archie?
Well, after looking at the thing from all angles, and believe me, I ain't leaving yours out, Miss Mary. I think maybe Miss Daly is the best choice. After all, she can sing and entertain the customers.
Well, then, I guess I'll be going.
Well, now, don't rush off. Stick around.
What for? I can't sing. I can't dance. What could I do to entertain?
It is generally agreed that Gypsy Rose Lee is the former...
Finnegan!
Cass Daly and Lynn Berry, and thanks too to Charlie Cantor, who plays Finnegan. Well, man, all of us hope you've enjoyed this 30-minute tour through some of the famous fictitious and real addresses along Radio Row. Remember, Command Performance is your show, so if you've got any special requests in mind, let's hear about them. We'll be waiting for your letters. Next week, there'll be another big Command Performance, so listen if you can, won't you? This is Ken Carpenter saying so long and good luck. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.